Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the show in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And today we're bringing you a special episode dedicated to breaking down the tracks of an album from one of our favorite bands of all time. And that band, of course, is System of a Down. Today we will go through every single track on their debut album, also titled System of a Down, in a segment that we are calling Trackmasters.
Because we are, of course, the masters of these.
We are the masters. Obviously, we are the masters of this track. No, I think it's System of a Down's a band that both of us have obviously been wanting to talk about for some time. We have talked about them a lot. That's ultimately where our mutual love of music came from, right? That's how we both knew we were on similar wavelengths.
Yeah, we were literally, like, I sort of knew you from just seeing you around and stuff. We were in your car, I think. You were driving me someplace. We were going to a mutual friend's house, and System came up, and I think we just talked about it for, like, an hour. Like, it was like we both clearly had spent a ton of time thinking about System of a Down.
Totally. As I recall, we were going to some get-together with a group of friends, and at that point, I think it was early in the year, you know, I had not really gotten to know you well that much at that point. We had some classes together. I'd seen you around. And then something about that song and hearing the song kind of lit a fire inside of us. And we spent, like you said, almost an hour just purely digging into our favorite System tracks and our growing up with the album, so much so that we completely ignored everyone else at the get together for like a good hour or so. And it was as pure a bro moment as I think I've had in my years. So, certainly a fond memory, but also a springboard to many more fond memories.
Yeah, and this will be the last one.
Yes, we're ending it here.
We're ending it.
Well, I think the bottom line is we have so many ideas and so many things to say about System of a Down as a whole that to just do a pure special on System of a Down and digging into all of their, you know, albums is in some ways to not respect them as much as we should. So,
well, I mean, okay, there's also this idea. I don't know if you're approaching it with the same defensiveness as I am, but I think System of a Down is in this very bizarre place in culture where they were for a while a smash hit that was kind of their time. But they weren't critically looked at, I think, as a result of being so high on the alternative charts and being seen as just the new metal guys, you know, the guys who wrote Toxicity or whatever. And I think they were sort of not really wrote a lot about or talked about, you know, on the internet and music sites. And I think that maybe were dismissed a little bit. And I think are forgotten by even some metal people. So I almost am going in this with a sense of their musical legacy deserves to be thought about critically as well as commercially.
Oh, for sure. And I would say, you know, their peak was sort of in the, you know, very beginnings of the internet. You know, the way we communicate about music and discuss music certainly didn't look the same way, especially with this first album, which was released back in 1998. So certainly, you know, 18 years, almost 20 years, this album has been out, which is almost crazy to think about that it's been that long.
Yeah. Do you want to, because this is, I have a feeling this is going to be one we'll do at least as many albums as there are. So what was your, do you want to get into how you were introduced to the band? Was their first album your first experience with them?
Yeah. That's a great question, Mark. Let me tell you how I got in System of a Down. Like all great bands that I love, I can thank Guitar Hero for being the way in. I think it was Guitar Hero World Tour was the game that included BYOB as one of the playable tracks. And that was a track, it's one of like the very last ones you unlock in the game, and was not one that I knew, so I didn't really have interest in playing it. By that point, I had sort of expanded my musical taste and was starting to recognize a lot of the bands and the songs that were on the game, so that was cool to play the ones that I knew for once. But with that track was one I was like, I don't know what that is, and I thought it was related to alcohol consumption, and so I felt kind of negative toward that as a young, impressionable high school student.
Because you were lame.
Yeah. So finally, you have to play it at some point to progress through the
Wait, campaign. So you're like sitting there like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
We'll bite the bullet and see. It's probably going to be something I don't enjoy, but we'll get through it. Okay.
All right.
Pick up a guitar. And when it starts off with just that, you know, air raid siren like guitar into the Why Do They Always Send the Poor? Suddenly my eardrums were lit aflame with music from some strange men, unlike anything that I had ever heard before. Played through it and said, this is something I need to listen to again right now. Immediately went and purchased the song, just the song itself, nothing else along with it, and listened to it on repeat constantly for the next 72 hours. I was obsessed with the song. And so then I reached out and like, well, they've got to have other stuff, right? And so I checked out songs like Question from that album, from Mesmerize. Listened to things like Toxicity, Aerials, Chop Suey, all of the big singles, basically. Kind of working my way backwards. Instantly loved the band, but I would say I loved a lot of their later stuff a lot more initially. It wasn't until much later that I finally came to their self-titled album. I kind of worked my way backwards through their stuff. And their self-titled album was actually the last music they had released that I hadn't listened to. I had listened to songs like Sugar and Spiders, again, the big singles there, and was kind of turned off by them. They were almost too brutal and too intense for me. It's maybe less melodic and more just kind of schizophrenic and panicked. But as time went on, I found myself maybe more used to their stylings, and the more I listened to their self-titled album, the more I came to really enjoy it. And I'll say, as it stands right now, I think this album may be either my second favorite or maybe even favorite album that System of a Down has put out. I think it's just a shotgun blast from start to finish.
And this first one.
Yeah, it's a monster.
And that's interesting. We'll get into maybe the differences that we have as System fans too. Because I...
Oh, we will.
Yeah, we for sure will. Because I actually am of the mind that they're one of the few bands that when they are more produced and reined in a little bit more, that their creativity is actually even more on display.
Oh, for sure. And I'll say that I think, you know, while this may be one of their better albums, I think their projection and their sound and the way they changed over time, the way they ended with Hypnotize and Mesmerize, the stuff they're doing on there, the moments on those albums where they're at their peak, is some of the best stuff they've ever done. And I think it's just a crying shame that they called it quits when they did, because I believe their best work was still ahead of them, as great as all of their stuff was up till that point.
Well, you know, but as it stands, they are remarkably consistent. I think maybe in retrospect, some fans are maybe divided on Sealess album a little bit, but even that I think has songs that people are unequivocally who like them, like these are highlights of their career.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know a single System fan who doesn't like Chicken Stew.
Sure.
But very quickly, I'll just get into how I was introduced to them. Was I was on my first real date, and I don't make fun of me. We were at Borders to show you. And this girl I had a pretty big crush on, she was like, she had spiky hair, she wore a jean jacket, and I was just all about it.
Is her name Pat Benatar?
Yeah, she was way older, but she was like real cool, you know?
Yeah.
And it was our first date. We saw Rocky Balboa in theaters, and I was too nervous to know how to approach the situation, and we're taking a walk. She sort of took the lead, and she was like, have you ever listened to this band, System of a Down? And I said, no, what is that? And she put like the earphones, because you could listen to like, you know, CDs, like you can listen to samples from them. Mm-hmm. With those big earphones that were all around the store. So she put on, and she threw on Psycho, which is quite possibly the worst song to introduce someone to System of a Down with.
It's intense.
Well, I mean, just in case the listener hasn't heard it, it is just this very, very low bass track and just a lot of noise. And she like, and it kind of gets into the speed metal, like, Psycho! Cocaine! Like, it's real crazy. So I listened to it and I said, you're super weird, but I really liked her and wanted to go out with her, so I listened to more. Then I started to meet more people who were into them, and my group of friends, and they introduced me to BYOB specifically through their music videos. So, like, I've seen the video for Chop Suey and BYOB dozens of times.
Yeah,
and
no, I have as well.
Yes, and I loved it all, and I had all their singles downloaded, and I then went out and decided I needed to listen to it, because I loved all of it. Mm-hmm. So the first one I bought as an album was the first album.
Oh, wow.
Not the first stuff I heard. That was the stuff I heard the least of, but yeah. I bought, I think, this, Steal This album, and Mesmerize at once, like all at the same time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or Hypnotize, rather. No, Mesmerize, the first one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I started.
Okay. Love led you in? And love kept you there.
Oh, sort of. I mean, I was because of a girl, but. All right. So as this is Trackmasters, we're going to go track by track. And we're starting
start
with numero uno. Track numero uno. Suit Pea.
Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea.
Suit. You think it was Suit Pea? Do you not know what sweet looks like?
I thought it was Suit Pea.
Are you kidding me? No. There's an E at the end of it.
I wasn't looking at it closely.
Where would you ever use the expression Suit Pea? That makes no sense.
I don't know. I always was confused by it.
Sweet Pea. You know, like when you would call someone a sweet pea?
I think maybe, because I'm seeing it now and how wrong
this
I am.
This is a revelation for me here. As a fan of the band, to think that you've been referring to the first track on their first album as Suit Pea.
Well, as a system of a Brown fan, I just maybe didn't pay attention to track titles.
Still.
No, I think on my... because I had stolen these songs at first, and I had put them all onto my iPod.
So you left
myself.
The E off.
So I may have just originally put it that way, and it's just been in my head that way.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Track number dos! No!
No, back up. We gotta talk about Sweet Pea here.
Let's
this
talk
thing,
about it.
This was maybe the track that first convinced me to give this album a shot. Like, really give the whole thing a shot. One thing I'll mention is that I think if you want to get someone into System of a Down, introduce them to the band, slapping headphones on someone and playing Psycho is not necessarily the way to do it. And I don't think that I would play even anything off this first album to someone who has never heard of this band before or wants to get into them. I don't think that's the best way in. Would you agree?
I wouldn't. But at the time, I genuinely think Spiders would have been an easy way in for a lot of people, because that was radio friendly for alt metal at the time.
Okay. And I think it does is similar to, say, like track like Aerials off of Toxicity. So
yeah, they always have their one like easily listenable like metal ballad,
the dark ballad.
Yeah, the dark ballad. And I think Spiders, and for me it was actually Sugar that made me realize I needed the first album.
Okay.
But I'm a little weird, so.
Yeah, you are a little weird.
I mean, I thought it was Suit Pea, so take everything I say with a grain of salt.
Right. What makes Sweet Pea so awesome is, to use another analogy, something like a film, Mad Max Fury Road. The movie starts with the roaring of engines, and you're not really sure what you're getting into, but you just know that we're going to start and it's going to go for the next 2 hours. The same is true of Sweet Pea here, which opens with these very bizarre guitar arpeggio type sounds. Does that a couple times before launching into just a blast of guitars and drums. And a lyric, the opening lyric on the album is, I had an out-of-body experience the other day. Her name was Jesus.
Yeah.
And instantly I'm like, oh, it was? Tell me more about this Jesus person.
Yes. Now, I've always compared Serj Tankian to And I've always pronounced his last name differently each time I say it.
Tankian.
Tankian?
Tankian.
Tankian. I've always compared him and the band in general to sort of the Frank Zappa of metal music.
Like, interesting.
They are totally sort of like in the way that Frank Zappa made jazz music from hell. I think that they have the same goofy sensibility, but ultimately it's abrasive, but like they're bouncing all over the place like they're children. You know, like he is so playful in his vocal delivery. And the fact that the first thing they made opens with he's sort of yelling, but every track on this thing has him using the full range of his bizarre voice.
He's all over the place.
Yes, in the best way.
We get like the guttural death growls, like just pure, like the lowest it could possibly go, and then doing like high pitched squeaky vocals in places and every other place in between.
So, die for her philosophy, die.
And just the melody itself, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's like a great instance too. I think, you know, Serge has always been a fascinating dude to me. I like all the guys in the band quite a bit, but Serge, I think, has seen the most obviously mainstream success off of that. He's had his own fairly decently successful solo career. He's released a few albums. And as you know, the front man of the band, I think he's most commonly associated with them and their sound.
Although like after their breakup, not to jump to the end, but it's Chavo who seemed like the most normal guy, who was the guy who was like, we love our fans. Like he to me as a fan after they broke up was like the link to the band after they had ended almost.
Right. Yeah. Chavo is the bass player in the band. With Sweet Pea too, you know, you get the kind of frenetic, fast paced choruses, and the pounding chorus, try her philosophy, all that stuff. And so that's kind of like bouncing along, like you said, kind of playful and goofy. And then after the second chorus, it breaks, stops, bass riff, do 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 do, kicks to a slow drum, and just death guttural screaming. And that was an instance where I was like, okay, that's really, really cool. Because again, I love when music can take a sound and completely shift it 180. And System of a Down does that so frequently in their stuff. It helps them cultivate that bizarre, all over the place sound that they have, you know, perfected basically. But that's from track one, album one. They have laid out their vision that we're going to do this goofy, bizarre music and segment it by like never knowing what's coming next from us. Because like that segue, that transition is completely unexpected. You have no idea it's coming, but it just blasts you over the head with it.
Totally. And I think that this is one of those tracks, if I had to pick 10 tracks that Darren Malakian, I'm going to be revealed here as not knowing how to pronounce their actual names, is a great showcase for his ability as a guitarist. Like,
sure,
he continues to write awesome guitar, like awesome riffs as his career goes on. But I think the first album is where you get the greatest span of his abilities and his ability to make guitar sound like different things in the span of one track. And Suit Pea, you know, it opens with that abrasive sort of cutting the strings, like, and it's awesome. Like
it's a totally unique sound.
He is simultaneously has the sort of the depth of the drop D power chords of, say,
David Draymond and Disturbed.
Yeah, of the Disturbed guys, but also the all over the placeness of a jazz guitarist, and of maybe even a little touch of 80s metal in there here and there, you know. Sure. It's and grunge. There's a lot of metal, a lot, like a full spectrum of metal and rock in his guitar work. And I think Sweet Pea is a great showcase for that.
No doubt about it. One thing that's also important with Darren's role on this album is this is the only album where I think his primary role is a guitar player and a guitar player only.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get into this, too.
Yeah, because as the years went on, he became more and more kind of a co-frontman for the band along with Serge and adding his own vocal stylings to the group's music. And I think the only one... There are maybe two tracks. I think he does do some of the screaming in the bridge section on Sweet Pea, and then also a bit of vocals on Pluck at the very end.
Yes. That, and it almost comes across like the seed has been planted for right. him to start to take over more and more as the band goes on.
Exactly. And with each album, he'll sing on more and more tracks until eventually on Hypnotized, it feels like he's doing even more
it's
songs
his album.
Than Surge's. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that and we could talk about also later on how that was possibly a lead into the band's demise and how they were too, you know,
oh, yeah.
struggling in different directions here. But this is another great example. You said he's a guitarist, and on this album, he is a guitarist first and foremost and like nothing else. It's purely his yes. guitar album. So mad props to him on his guitar skills. He deserves to be credited for being a great guitarist.
Yeah, and you know, he, I think, touches on a little punk here and there in other tracks, but in Sweet Pea, it's truly, I think he demonstrates this sort of unique take on metal guitar work that no one quite sounds like him. I mean, and you could say that, I think, about a lot of the band members. I mean, even Chavo has some pretty, I understand he doesn't write many of the parts, although he does, he's a writer on some of the songs, but
yeah,
he even will have these interesting bass riffs that stand out in many of the tracks.
It's a great testament to the band that every single member has a vital role. You know, it's not just simply, oh, and then the bass plays in. Like, that's Chavo playing a killer bass riff here. And I'm not sure if that's just because I like the band so much that I've delved into them and, right. and really, like, examined each track so carefully here. But it feels to me that every single person in this band has an important, essential role to creating this music.
Right. I mean, even the drummer.
John Dolmayan.
Dolmayan, yes, I always forget his name. He has a sort of almost like tribal war drum quality to his.
Yeah, so much of like work. The not the snare drum, but the other drums, you know.
Yeah. So, to sort of actually stay with Sweet Pea here, because we're jumping, I think, all over the place, little friend.
We've got a lot to say.
We do. This is going to be a messy and giddy podcast.
Just like any System of a Down album.
System of an Album Down.
System of an Album Down.
Sweet Pea. So Surge's ability as a lyricist is up for debate for a lot of people, but sure. his ability as a vocalist is not. And
that's
I find
a great point. That is a great point.
Thanks, friend.
High five. That was really a great high five sound effect, too.
It was us slapping our genitals together in celebration. Sweet Pea is like one of the instances in which Surge is sort of his almost adolescent take on. No, I don't want to say adolescent, but like open mic poetry sort of like lyrics are totally going so well for me, because it's like this idea of making religion a woman who you need to fornicate with
yeah.
in order to succeed. Like the final lyric where you need to have sex to get into the Garden of Eden is
yeah.
like, it's when he is at his best as
it's
a lyricist.
Brutal.
It's brutal, and he performs every, like, it's as if every line is a different version of Surge.
Yeah. Surge has come under some scrutiny for his use of profanity in his works. I guess
really?
Later on, I'm thinking maybe of his solo work. He was famous for including a track on a solo called Beethoven's C Word, and encouraging everyone to say the word as they performed it.
You mean the word cake?
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone chocolate. Knew back then that Beethoven didn't eat chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake. No, he didn't.
And they were very upset.
So in some ways, you know, Surge wants to encourage an acceptance of profanity and, you know, and use it and realize it's just words. But also, I think on this track in particular, the way he uses his profanity in the bridge section is just super powerful.
Yeah.
It's a monster bridge.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Even the way Darren's belting out. Because I think it feels like Darren doing the screaming behind him.
Right. Behind the death guttural growls.
It's the screechiness of his voice works perfectly behind Surge.
And I was so disappointed because I transferred my music to the iTunes cloud or whatever it is to save room so I can listen to my entire album, you know, my entire library on my iPhone. And whenever this album transferred, they must have taken the censored version of this song. So the rest of the album is fine as is, but this one completely lacks that punch in the middle of it. So I get none of Darren screaming in the background. And the final line of the bridge, because everyone needs a mother. And then just the drum hit, and it's back into it, and it's just, it loses its punch.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a huge pro for the choice to use the words in that way.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense without it. Like, the swear words are actually a key component of his lyrics sometimes. Yeah. That's definitely an instance where you, like, the wordplay is essential that he is swearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he is, despite the fact that he is a little open mic-y, he is using language in a particular way that's considered, you know,
for sure.
It's not sloppy for sure.
He knows exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah. But what an opening.
It's great.
It is great.
I'll be honest. Like, there are so few low points on this album for me that it's like, it starts off, we launch, and then we're just going, and nothing says that we're just going to keep going. Like the opening drum riff on No.
Yeah.
Which is that, like, tribal, like you said, just, like, pounding, just propulsive, heavy stuff with the bass and the guitar kicking. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, this is one where, like, it's the sound on No will is indicative of, to me, some of the, not lower points in that I don't like them, but, like, sounds on the album that don't quite reach as high as your sweet peas and your sugars. Like, it's like, you know, No is just kind of a weirdly vocally performed alt metal song in some ways, you know what I mean? Like, there's a little less in the way of signature musicianship in it, I find, but it is a good track.
You never think, you know.
Yeah, but, like, even that feels very, like, 90s, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers metal or something, you know?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. And the fact that he opens by just screaming, "Cursed Earth," is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's one of those times when I'm not as on board lyrically, but, you know, it's a good one.
Well, then after, like, the opening, then it cuts to just Darren's guitar is going that... And then just comes thrashing back in again. I love that stuff. That's an awesome. I'm just going to be saying awesome the entire podcast. Just saying that. Awesome. This part, also awesome.
Yeah. No, but I will. You like sweet. You prefer Sweet Pea to No, though, right? Like, do you agree that there is, like, slight.
Yeah, but I think I still like the energy inside of this track.
I do, too. I do feel like it's tracks like these that remind me that this is their first outing, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I guess we should have said at the top here, but going into this, all four band members have this goal of commemorating the Armenian genocide of the early 1900s and that was swept over by the Turkish government and calling attention to that. And they all have this, I think, is which helps. Because they're using, like, huge ideas, but, like, it's actually for a real purpose. They have something they want to attack and make aware of for people.
Yeah, and this is a great track, I think, for that sound, too, because, like, the melody of the verses in the song feel very indicative of, you know, that Western Asian style of music.
Exactly. So, like, there is no generic rebellion to their music. They have something very specific that they would like you to think about. Just something to mention. Also, something else I wanted to mention at the top here was the fact that Rick Rubin produced this. And
are you kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious. This is a Rick Rubin produced record. And this is, like,
kidding.
The sort of golden era, or maybe not golden era, because that's maybe a little strong, but this is pre-people writing negative things about Rick Rubin who have worked with him. Like, pre-mid-2000s, because there's all these stories about him, like, not showing up to record or having his people show up or, like, literally working over Skype in his house. So I think that's kind of an interesting touch to it, because the production changes, the way the band feels over time changes. And it's almost as if Rick Rubin, you know, granted, this is, they have less money, they're a smaller band, but it's almost as if Rick Rubin, even as their sounds got more expensive, kept it feeling a little more, you know, brutal and sloppy.
Yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah. Just some facts for you.
You're dropping facts on me. I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that maybe Noah's Noah's a great track too. Exactly what you want. Like you said, keeps that energy going. Let you know we're not stopping. But I don't even want to talk about it anymore, because we're getting into one of my all-time favorite System tracks ever written.
This thing is massive. And of course, you're talking about the legendary track, Sugar.
Now, Sugar is the perfect comparison when I want to talk about Frank Zappa comparisons. Oh, we forgot. Darren plays a huge part in the vocals in Sugar.
That's true.
We forgot about that. Like, we're saying, like, he maybe has one moment in Pluck. Like, he is a huge part of the choruses here.
That's true. That's true. Sorry, Darren.
Yeah, sorry, bro. Sugar is where they bring in a little bit more, like, Darren brings in a little bit more of the punk influence, which I think is definitely there when you look at his solo, his quote-unquote solo stuff, where the guitar is really simple, but it's this catchy, like, sort of, like, high-stringed riff.
Yeah.
And Surge is just the grunge, and it's just, like, bringing back to these high sounds and these low sounds, like, sort of the Nirvana idea of soft loud, but right. Instead it's like low loud, high loud almost.
And dynamic. In the meantime,
it's so enjoyable.
Like, John is playing sort of like a double time swing beat on the drum set. So you're getting sort of like the jazz feel there as well. Like, that, like, kind of like, you know.
Right.
Swing beat to it.
Which is what connects with Surge's main verses, which are very like performance poetry, where he's reading this. He's this character who is this insane version of an American who, like, is commits domestic abuse and plays Russian roulette every day with a bullet called life.
Yeah, mama called life.
It's his performance of these lines where he's just, like, spitting them out, just talking, and then it goes into the, like, crunchy metal grunge that is why I love Surge.
Yeah. I mean, this may be the single greatest example of his insane range as a vocalist. I don't know that any other song captures such highs and lows for him like the song does, or like how many different personalities he puts on over the course of this track.
Yeah, this song was on constant rotation for me in high school.
Yeah.
Like, constant. This was one of my favorites by them all the time. And, like, there's one line in particular that to me is one of the most brutal and best performed Surge lines ever, which is my girl, you know, she lashes out at me sometimes and I just kick her and say, ooh, baby, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Is,
ooh, baby. She's yes. Okay.
He's like in a fish song for a couple of seconds at the end.
And then he launches into the next line where it's the line itself is, people are always chasing me down, trying to push my face to the ground, where all they really want to do is suck up my brains.
And then Darren's just screaming.
But he says that
Sugar.
In the amount of space that he said the last line. So it's impossible to decipher what he's saying in that amount of space. But he's saying
okay.
It so quickly.
Well, let's break this down. So it starts with this cutesy, I got a gun the other day from Sucko. It's cute. It's small. Like, he's talking.
Right.
And then he kind of goes lower like it's jazz. You know, this is the jazz part. And then it's like the way he performs those lines, trying to push my face to the ground. It's almost like he's doing the sky like thing. Like, he's like really like laying into it so quickly.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then ending on my brains.
Right. And then we transition into the bridge where it's, I sit in my desolate room. And it's slower. Total time signature change. And then it's just this.
And each line, it changes.
Yes.
Right? So it's, I sit in my desolate room. Bump. No lights. No music, and he's just screaming at this point. Just anger.
Now that's when he's like really screaming, right?
Total screaming, just anger. Whisper, I've killed everyone.
And then he's goofy.
And then it gets weird. Tempo speeds up.
And then he goes back into Scott. But I'm feeling better. Like, It's so insane. He's so many vocalists.
It's insane.
Yeah. This is a highlight for every member, because also the bass part, let's not forget, is amazing for Sugar. That doom 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 doom. It's really an important part. Like, all four members are essential for this song working.
Yeah. And it feels like it's difficult to pull this thing off, you know?
Yes.
Like, it feels like it's going to fall apart at any second. Because it's like, just not that saying it's like it's bad in that way, but that it requires such a particular performance from every member of the band as well to get the aesthetic that they're going for. Everyone's got to commit 100% to this idea. And if it doesn't work that way, it's just going to sound like bizarre or strange. Not that it already doesn't sound bizarre or strange, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. His when he produces a noise that I have never heard a human being
which happens all the time on this record,
but like, literally speaking, like, when the way he says "ooh, bleh, bleh," like, I can't even reproduce it. It's the weirdest thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Totally. And I think that's one thing that I've maybe become more upset with as time has gone on. Serj never gets this weird again. You know, like, lyrically, he gets kind of out there, but as far as his vocal performance, he never reaches this level of crazy, flat-out, bizarre strangeness again. He'll still have moments of it, but I think this is his peak of that kind of stuff. And as time went on, I think that's kind of dissipated, and that's made me more sad.
Well, you know, I think that they find... It's interesting, because in some ways that's not true, because he does go on later in the band's life, lyrically, to be even more insane. Like, Banana Terracotta Pie, what's that song called?
Vicinity of Obscenity.
Yeah, now that's just pure insane.
Okay, that's true.
But on the
whole... His vocal performance, though, is never as, like, terrifying as it is here.
It's pretty bad in that track, I think. I mean, in a terrifying way.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But I hear what you're saying. I think that they just are given more direction later on. You know what I mean?
I guess maybe I should rephrase what I'm saying by saying that he has become more focused on being a pure singer.
Yes.
Than he is whatever he's doing here. It's not quite singing.
Yeah, I guess I'm sounding like I'm disagreeing, but I'm really not. He definitely, this is when he is the most insane, for sure.
I mean, I'll be honest, like, this track, like, scared me when I listened to it the first time. I was like, oh, wow, this is frightening.
This is so cute, because, like, you were, like, sitting with your Guitar Hero, you see that the word beer may be in a song, and you're scared. And... like, it's so surprising that you've come around and, like, this is one of your favorite bands. Like, how did you go from there to here?
I guess with just time and space and embracing all the best things that I loved about it.
Fair enough. But let's go to Suggestions, which is one of the weirder ones on the album.
Yeah.
And I think one of the... I would go as far as saying, like, ugly... songs, like the guitar riff that opens the track, that like really gross acoustic, like and like extremely simple
back and forth,
is like a little grating, and it's a strange thing. And where he's also spitting out these words about boats, and like I've never quite found a handle on it.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think the opening to this song is like the closest thing to normalcy the band's achieved yet on the record, right?
Wait, Suggestions?
Well, from the lyrical delivery standpoint, I should say, right? As far as like how he's singing the stuff.
Hold on, because there's specifically a lyric I'd like to disagree with you there on. Hold on. Yeah, I might say that that's not true.
Yeah, you're right. That part is bizarre. But the opening, just the watching from a post up high, from where you see the ship afar, they're pretty straightforward.
Right.
At least in relation to what we've seen elsewhere. Now, on the second half of the song, we do get the squeaky, the ships multiplying every day, sir. And we do get the great segue line into the chorus. If you want the answers, you better get the piece of mine.
No,
which,
he
again, is so goofy and strange.
I think this is a highlight for his vocal delivery. Like the outro of this, when he says it's all over and he screams over that second time, is one of the most brutal screams he has ever screamed.
Yeah. And then we get more of that, again, Asian influence with that. Right? That fade out.
Yeah.
And we do get a bit of digital noise in the fade out here as well. Some like kind of keyboard, ambient electronic music on the way out. One thing that's important to note here that may influence our discussion a little later on is that Serge was actually a keyboardist originally and fiddled around in the electronics industry before becoming a musician full time.
Yeah.
So he does have a background with computers.
I didn't know that, actually. That's interesting.
There
you
go.
I know that he actually released books of poetry, but I didn't know that.
Now you know.
Well, and as we know, I finished half the battle in that case. But Suggestions is sort of weirdly sandwiched in between the two singles.
Yeah.
Spiders, you want to just jump into Spiders?
Yeah, let's do it.
Spiders is, I think, the most conventional song in the album, and as a result, one of the singles where it's very much a nu metal song. Like, it doesn't get weird, really, at all. It's very radio-friendly in the sense that an alternative metal song can be radio-friendly, but, you know, it is that, and it's a solid song. It's not one that I really found myself listening to a lot. Like, I would never skip this on the album. But it's I don't know. How does this one hold up for you?
This one for me, honestly, is one of my favorites. Because I've always loved when they can slow things down and be more, like you said, like the dark ballad-y tracks. Aerials is one of my all-time favorite System tracks. And this one, too, I think holds up very well. When they allow themselves a little bit of space to just kind of take a breath and breathe and express some very strong emotion here. I think this thing is just packed with emotion. Especially on the outro, between the guitar work and his vocal delivery here, this thing is so powerful to me, just as a piece of music. I love it. It's great.
It is great. It is because it is so emotional and sort of wanting to be straightforward, feeling something. It's sort of. I mean, it's much better than this, but it's sort of like Lonely Day, where, like, I love it on the album. I think it's a great song, but it's not something I return to personally a lot.
And I think Lonely Day is maybe a track indicative of some of that weak songwriting that Darren is known for.
At least that he becomes known for.
Even emotionally, I don't know, because of that, it doesn't hit me in the same way. I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, this is still... particularly, I want to emphasize the outro as Serge is delivering the Before You Knows in the very final moments of the track, and then the guitar comes in. It's the same riff that Darren's been playing for the entire song, that down, but it's even, for some reason, it sounds even heavier, like he's just pouring every ounce of himself into the way it sounds. And it's, I get a little teary just thinking about it, you know.
Wow.
It's,
are you teary now?
No, I'm not. I guess I'm not thinking about it that hard.
Yeah, you can tell. It is good though. Like, it definitely holds up. I would prefer this to Aerials.
No.
And certainly Your no was so like loud and overblown in the mic.
I can see that.
It was like you were like a normal volume and you got so much louder.
No, you're wrong.
I would certainly prefer this to Holy Mountains.
Oh, yeah. I'll agree with you there. Holy Mountains is a fairly weak track, I think.
Yeah. Every album, they have one of these. And for me, these are usually they're a staple of the System catalog. I always like them. But they're not my favorite, and I think Spiders is the purest version of this. So this is my favorite of the big ballads that we'll see coming up here in the next few Trackmasters.
Okay.
And the solo's great. Let's say that. Solo's great.
what would the ballad be off of Steal This Album? I have one that I'm thinking of, but I want to see if you can think of it.
I'd have to have the track listing in front of me. Hold on.
I'm thinking maybe Mr. Jack.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Mr. Jack. But there's something like satirical about Mr. Jack that doesn't feel as earnest as the other ones. Sure. You know?
But you get the same kind of like bass.
Yeah. Looking at the track listing, that's
the closest
thing. I feel like you're probably right.
I think that's a pretty good one. It's got some menace to it, which I like.
There's probably an argument for one of the final ones. Because isn't what Fade Away is a roulette. I can't remember which one is a slower track.
Roulette's the acoustic one.
Yes, so that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the self-titled.
So, we're past Spiders now.
Spiders, great. Love it.
Now this is another, in sort of the rhythm of traditional bizarre, we're now on to the bizarre with D-Devil.
D-Devil.
The Devil. What is the deal with the D?
I think it's just, instead of saying the Devil, it's just D-Devil.
But why?
Who knows?
He has one of his best, like, Surge lyrics, which is "Shake Your Spear at Shakespeare."
That's great. I bet no one's thought of that one before.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've never heard it. But the whole song being about, excuse me, starting about plagiarism. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like that part, I guess. And then I like how he says "strong refrigerators."
I was gonna say, do you also like the line about the strong refrigerators?
I do. Yes.
Are the refrigerators gaining independence?
Yes. Oh, they're okay. The loud, noisy ones.
Okay. The line from this song that I always quoted through my, you know, few years of high school toward the end was the part where he says, "Stupid people do stupid things. Smart people outsmart each other. Then themselves, then themselves, then themselves, then themselves." And I would always say the entire portion of that. I would never just end it with "then themselves." I would say "then themselves" four times.
And would people stick around for you to do that, or would they already be out?
They would be gone.
Okay. That is a good part, too. I will say the chorus is the low point. Jesus. The chorus is the low point for me on this one.
Yeah.
Like, this is another one where it's your feel like sort of like "no" and "suggestions." I'm feeling a little bit more of they're still finding their sound a little bit. Like, they're still discovering what kind of weird alt metal band they are.
And they are weird.
Yeah. Like, this and "suggestions" feel of the same mind to me. And I don't think you ever really hear tracks like these after this album ever again.
No, I think you're right. But I also think there's a more raw sound to this, right?
Right.
Where they became much more focused later on. And I think in a lot of ways that improved their sound. But there's something about the strangeness of it all that really works for me on this album.
It feels, because of the ship talk and suggestions and the weird, like, giggling, like, it feels like they're pirates. It feels like pirate metal.
Yeah, I like that.
But again, this is like sort of like I'm in this rhythm of the sound where, like, love it, like it, love it, like it. Like, right after this is
Soil. What a great track.
It is an amazing track. Easily one of the best tracks by Darren, no question, that he has ever done on the guitar. He has a solo in it that is, I think, probably the most technically complex guitar part he ever will write.
Yeah.
And there, speaking of raw emotion, so this track is written about, there is a friend of the band, I don't know if they've ever said who, that I know of, that committed suicide,
right,
that they wrote this about. And it's it gets you to understand their sound a little bit more, because in this, there's actually like almost like 1920s like Broadway dance riff later in the track in the song about their friend who committed suicide, mm-hmm. that lets you know even when they're being goofy and strange, it's just part of the anger and
yeah.
the rawness. Like none of, they're never weird because they want to be weird. That's just how they are almost. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. There is such a strong energy in this track. It is propulsive and heavy and emotional, again, like you said. This is another one that really gets me on the outro, I think, again, to like say those final moments. And another great instance where Surge's use of profanity is so on point here.
Right. Yeah. The final outro, like that final yeah. line, why did you take him away from us? When he's just screaming it, that yeah. feels really real to me.
Yeah. It's heavy stuff, man.
Yeah. And like, but yeah, the fact that like it goes in that from the like dum bum 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 bum, where Shavo is just doing that weird dance riff is
yeah.
so crazy.
Because
it starts like this weird Armenian,
right?
Like, the Phoenix he helped create. Like
very,
it's so
yeah,
yeah,
very Asian.
Oh my god. It is this is a highlight of the entire band for me. Their ability to shift how like the entire DNA of the song is on
yeah.
constant, that every member is doing something that is important. The bass part is essential here. The drums are driving and intense. Surge is all over the place and he's
yeah.
weird, but for a good reason. It's all working in this track.
Great line on this track. A man can't avoid to do what he's meant to do when he's meant to do it.
Even if he doesn't really want
to. Even if he doesn't really want to.
Yeah. And then it gets into the maybe the less good part of weakness within the strength of use for reasons undefined, reasons undefined, reasons undefined, reasons undefined. Yeah.
Preserve your red.
It's great.
Don't you realize?
There's that really monster, like that sliding guitar, like that. Even that would, which would be horrible for anyone else to do,
yeah.
and sounds out of place for any other. No one else could compose this.
No, but we get that. You said great guitar parts. You get that. That like way out. That little like
yeah.
slidey solo bit.
Yeah.
So good.
It's like eight songs. But what's weird about System is that even when they're playing eight songs in one, it feels like just a song.
Yeah.
Because it's so quick. Like, you'll get these riffs that feel like they belong somewhere else for 20 seconds before it kicks into a whole new thing for another, you know, 40 seconds.
Completely. And the album itself is only about 40 minutes long. I mean, it's a, on the whole, fairly brief album. And this song is only 3 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. It feels like such a long song.
It does because there's so much to it. But yeah, this is a huge highlight for me from this one.
Huge.
Huge highlight. Huge highlight. Terrific highlight. Terrific.
Well, it's so good that this is your big highlight, because maybe my big highlight from this album is, I mean, I love that track, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
War, though,
wait,
is maybe one of my all-time favorite System songs.
War?
War.
War?
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 That's it.
Can you say it without the question mark?
No.
War? What if, can I make the statement that
yes.
this is one of the worst titles of any other tracks?
Well, I mean, they're infamous for using punctuation in their titles as well in some strange ways, so
right,
this is the first instance of the strange punctuation.
Just slide a question mark in there.
The opening guitar riff to this track, that thing is so good, menacing, mm-hmm. heavy. Launching right into it, as always, with that blast of the full band hitting it. And you mentioned sort of like a Chili Peppers, almost like Rage Against the Machine vocal delivery here, with his kind of like spitfire, you know, dark as a light, the man you fight. That kind of, you know, power like you would see from those other alt-90s rock groups.
Right.
through, you know, the great chorus of "We will fight the heathens, we will fight the heathens."
Right. And
which
it's,
is
and it's
amazing.
It is amazing. And for as goofy as the title is, it really does pull a lot of heavy ideas about what war is in a very system way.
Yeah.
It is a classic.
And I love the breakdown where it's just like a pure spoken word. "We must call upon our bright darkness. Beliefs, yeah. They're the bullets of the wicked. One was written on the sword, for you must enter a room to destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. Yeah. No international security, no call of the righteous man, needs a reason to kill man. History teaches us so. The reason he must attain must be approved by his God, his child, partisan brother of war. Of war, we don't speak anymore."
Right.
Boom. Repeat. War, 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 war. Outro. Hit it. "We will fight the heathens." Drop the mic. Get out of there.
Yeah. It's
boom.
This track feels like it. This is what inspired much of the material on Steal This Album, almost.
It's because 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, it's super quick. It's super brutal. And it's weird, but it's very... they tame their weirdness. The song remains mostly the same. And when they take that sort of sojourn into the weird speaking part, it feels in place rather than out of it. It's a good one.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not my personal favorite, but this is another one that was on rotation a lot for me too.
Yeah,
that
you
chorus
can't tell
is
me
truly driving.
When you just the opening, right, with the guitar, and then when the power band kicks in with everyone playing full volume, you can't tell me you just don't just lose it when that happens.
Right. Yeah. That's
what it's all about, right there.
Mm-hmm. So. Now we're getting to the part of the album where...
things are going to get weird. Like, you thought weird things were weird before, now things are going to get really weird.
Well, see, because, like I said, we're in this rhythm of weird, you know, we almost like weird, abstract, and like great, good, great, good. At least for me, up until you get to Soil and War, which are totally two solid ones right after another.
They're bangers.
They're both bangers. And then this is where I have a little bit of a problem with their debut is it enters into this space where you have Minds and then these next few tracks, which all feel part of the same ilk and feel totally they're slowed down. They don't go to as many interesting places musically. It feels like a drudge. This track in particular, Mind.
Yeah, we get
it's
it with
the
bass
longest
too.
Thing on the album
by a huge margin, too. It's 6 minutes long.
Right. It just doesn't feel fully formed in the way that their other weird stuff does. And I this one is never on rotation for me. This is not my favorite. Even that feels lame. That stuff is annoying. This is when System of a Down's need to be altruistic or fighting for justice is
look at each other. Look at each other. Go away! Go away!
Keep going.
No, that's all I got.
Okay. I don't like Mind.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a low point for me, too. It's just, they're trying to create some lengthy piece, I feel, you know, and see what it's like whenever they let their sound build over 6 minutes, as opposed to, say, do it in a short burst of a 3 or even a 2 minute song. And I think there's a reason why we won't see many other long tracks from them going forward. I just don't think the experiment worked super well here. I think there's maybe some good intentions, but doesn't have the same punch to it like their other tracks do.
Yeah, I mean, it ironically, what the failure is for me is that usually when they take those sojourns where the sound is totally different, it's for such a limited space in the song and limited amount of time that it forces your brain to reconcile with what you're hearing. Like, you have to keep up with the band. And here, they sort of reveal that when they take those sojourns, which are very simple, like the dancey part in Soil, that they are simple and on their face, not that interesting.
Right.
So if you layer them out over the course of minutes, it's just, you're not going to have a good song.
No, you're right. There's the only line I pull from this one maybe is the free thinkers are dangerous.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
It's good in the way, the ironic way that sometimes I found a system where I'm a little bit off board of what they're saying, and it's a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the problem continues for me a little bit with going into people.
Yeah. It's this is like the most carnival song of them all, right? With that, like, just with the trombone or whatever it is doing the bomp 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 bomp, that very kind of carnivalistic bouncy rhythm.
I mean, you do get lyrics like "when your moon is fake and your mermaids cry," which is really good, but at the same time, like, there's this right after the longest track on the album, which is experimental and doesn't really know what to do with itself, there's like a almost 35 second intro where you hear what the song is going to be before it
happens.
Little
snippets of it, right?
Because it's a peephole, which is who cares,
right? Yeah, no, this is another one. I might even say I like this one less than Mind.
Yeah,
because,
and it's also long.
Yeah. I just don't think, where at least with Mind, we do eventually build some fairly heavy hitting power chords there. With this song, it's just kind of bouncy and goofy and not even like bizarre or strange or creepy enough for me to be interested in.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on there that I'm particularly fond of. And it's just, it hurts the album to me in a significant way because I almost dropped the microphone. Oh my God.
You haven't said anything important yet. You can't do that.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's something important.
Blow my mind.
I've never put out any of these shows on the internet. We've just been doing this for myself.
Are you kidding me? You promised me millions and millions of dollars. Thousands of adoring fans.
Well, we have a few.
Oh.
Isn't that enough for you? What are you saying?
I'm in this for the money.
Everyone tell Charlie doesn't like you guys, just so you know. He doesn't care about your support and your listens and your downloads and comments. No support from Charlie.
I'm looking to be the next Chris Hardwick. The minute I make it big, I'm dropping you like a hot potato.
There's a lot of signs that are points into that.
Ew.
Ew, yeah, I feel a little gross. But okay, so you have Mind.
Right.
Stop with your dumb thing. You have Mind, which is 6 minutes long. Then you go into People, you have a solid 10 minutes of this.
That's a fourth of the album.
It's a quarter of the album that's just kind of meandering. It doesn't have the energy. It's slowed totally down. They're trying on these new sounds that don't fit them quite as well. It's a big drop in quality for me.
Agreed. And I think that's why on a few re-listens, I used to for a while say this was my favorite System album, and I don't think it holds up quite as well now just because of that low point at about the 2/3 mark.
What did you say, the 2/3?
It's about the 2/3 mark, right, on the album track, like what, 7 and 8?
The 2/3 of what?
The 2/3 of the way through this album, we get the tracks like Mind and Peephole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was making a really good joke about the fact that you used my name. Which you can rewind.
Wait, what's your name?
Thark.
Oh, hey, Thark.
Okay.
What a great joke that was.
Thanks. Let's not get into any of this. I'm done with these. Because my other problem is then you go into Q-Bert, and Q-Bert... Yes. Oh, Charlie's ringing. Someone picked that up.
I shouldn't have laughed that hard at that. You don't deserve that.
Put your ear right into his mouth and let him tell you who's calling. Uh-oh. Charlie's run out of oil.
Midway straight line.
I like how you said that what I'm saying is not funny enough to be listened to, and then you respond by making guitar noises with your mouth.
Isn't that why people listen to us?
That is why people listen to us, because they can't hear real guitars.
And they'll never listen to the song. They need someone to perfectly recreate these songs.
Right.
And that's why I'm here.
Could you I love the solo to Ozzy's Bark at the Moon. Could you give me that?
No.
Okay.
I don't take requests.
Fine.
So Q-Bert, you'll put into that category. Would you put darts in there too?
Well, I didn't even say what I had to say yet.
All right.
Listen, Q-Bert, no, not quite that category, but it doesn't do enough to redeem it because Q-Bert's not interesting enough on its own. It's one of those, you know, great, good, but like going from like bad, bad, good is not, it drags Q-Bert down in the album.
Yeah,
because it's just not interesting enough. So you go into darts, and darts is better than Q-Bert, but it's still kind of like, I don't think they quite pick up that energy again in the album. Like it sort of, once you hit track 9, it's kind of lost it for me.
Mm-hmm. Darts is great for the opening. Matt plays.
Yeah, I don't. But even that, like, after you've heard it so much, it just kind of is done for me. Like they balance all of that stuff out better than later albums. Like once they've stopped selling you on their weirdness, being approached with more of it is not necessarily satisfying to listen to.
Okay. Fair enough. I do like the outro quite a bit with the Arises of the Ghazan Sea and Ishkar.
Yeah. What is going on with that?
And Ishkar!
I don't even under, like, and
I don't understand
even...
either, but I love it. Yeah. I just thrash my head to it.
Mm. You are a big headbanger.
Yeah. Metal health will drive you mad.
Yeah. So you're kind of on board though. So it kind of hits a slump for you.
Yeah. I think People may be the worst track. I find Q-Bert and Darts more listenable, more enjoyable, but
yeah,
it's, I mean, compared to the first half, it's a noticeable drop.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So we're here at the last track. We're at Politically Lying, Unholy, Cowardly Killers.
P-L-U-C-K.
This indicates to me that they, for some reason, really wanted to use the word pluck.
Yeah.
And had to come up with, like,
gotta
why?
Gotta make it work.
Why, though?
I think they had Politically Lying first.
Mm-hmm.
And then went from there.
Why not just say, like, fake, unholy, cowardly killers and call it a day?
No. That's too simple.
But what does pluck indicate to the listener?
That these people were plucked from life.
I guess. It seems like if this is your track where you directly mention the whole reason for your music, which is a genocide, that you would want to use a more powerful word than pluck, but okay.
What if they called it restitution?
That is all I remember from this track ever. It's just a constant repetition of that.
Recognition, restoration, reparation.
Yeah. It feels like they wanted to write a big banger to sort of wrap their whole theme with a nice bow at the end.
Right.
But Pluck has never done it for me.
Well, I think this is the closest thing they've had to like a band anthem too, or an album anthem, because this is the lyric we get, all in the system of down.
Right.
Right, so we get a direct call out to the band's name origin and to the album title origin. I think it's a pretty good song overall. I don't dislike the song, but I don't think it's the same level of their bigger hits here. It's not one that like you would expect to hear people like wanting to hear at a concert, say, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like the They Might Be Giants self-titled track from their first album, where you hear it like, this is what you wanted your entire band to sound like?
Yeah.
This is the one?
But I think like a song like Sugar is much more indicative of the band as a whole than
This
track. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Pluck is okay. Like it's good. There's some solid riffs. You get a little more Darren than in most of the album. So if you like that,
yeah,
he's there.
And we get that with the harmonies in the verses, which is big.
Right.
I think in a lot of ways, this song kind of sets a tone for going forward, how they're going to combine their vocal performances to success. That's maybe the one aspect of the song I would take away from it going forward, how they're going to change their sound.
Yeah. you know, obviously ending, the very final thing in the album is System of a Down, which,
yeah,
I just think they matured a little bit. That's just, I don't think they would make that move even on their next album 2 years later. Like, right. I think this is another track that's indicative of their need to grow creatively to succeed more, which they thankfully did.
Yeah. Thankfully. But I still think it's a good a closer track for the album. I think it works pretty well as an outro. You know, quibbles with the final line aside, it's, I think, a solid closer here.
Yeah.
War might work better as a closer than Pluck, but I like Pluck.
Only if you take Pluck off the album.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit really anywhere else, I don't think.
That's true.
It sounds like almost made for, like, an action movie of the time, like Triple X or something. Like, it feels like it would be at the end credits of some, like, Blade.
That's it.
Yeah, man, I think we've done it. There's this, we hit them all.
There you have it. So, overall thoughts on the album here? How do you think it stands up to some of the other stuff?
Now, I'm kind of on along with you. We're you know, this was never my favorite. I've sort of always honestly given up once Mind hit. Like, to me, this album was 8 tracks, and it ends with War, and then you're done. So I've always had some pretty serious issues with it on the whole, but those first 8 tracks are like this excellent intro to what will become, you know, one of the most interesting metal bands ever. So
we're laying the foundation here, man.
Yeah. It's definitely holds up because, I burped, because it's so weird and because it is, it's raw and Surge is the most insane. But yeah, it's. I think I had a little issues with it. Kind of kept it down a little bit for me.
Yeah, I'll agree. Like I said, I wanted it to be, you know, my favorite album, but I've listened to this one again recently and listened to Toxicity, and this one does not hold up just quite as much for me as their next one does, which is such a good album.
Yeah, we'll get into that, I'm sure.
We definitely soon will. Yeah. Before we do, however, we need to make our best tracks of 1998 playlist here. So give me them tracks you're taking with you off this thing, man.
Okay, now this one is there's certain ones I got to take. I just know I got to take them. So the first one I'll take right off the bat is it's going to be Sweet Pea, because there's Suit Pea.
That's it.
There's some, I think lyrically he's at his best. There's a viciousness to it that I find irresistible. I'm going to go with, after that, Soil. Soil has and always will be a classic for me. I just love it. And it's one that ages in an interesting way, because it always, I feel like I'm liking it for different reasons now than I used to.
Interesting.
Because I almost like it as a straight up rock song in some ways.
Yeah.
Instead of as a System song. And just as a rock song, it's just the guitar work's amazing. And I'm just going to stick with 3. My final will be Sugar, which will just always be my favorite from this one.
There you have it.
What about you?
I'm giving it 4. I think by saying it's a 4, now I feel the need to defend myself there after saying, you know, it's not quite as good. I still love this album front to back. I mean, granted, it drops a bit in quality there, but I mean, that's why I'm not taking, say, like 5 or 6 tracks off this thing as opposed to just 4. So,
right. I mean, when compared with other great albums like The White Album by Weezer, it certainly stands up.
It's equally enjoyable for me.
Oh, Jesus.
My lowest one on this one, I actually think, is probably going to be Suit Pea. Suit Pea is my number 4. Then Sugar, number 3. Then Spiders. I like Spiders.
Spiders.
And my favorite track off this thing is War. It's War. I'm saying it definitively.
Wait, is it war?
I have to say it definitively. It's war.
Yeah, my favorite is war?
My favorite is war? Are you sure about that? Yes?
Let's see, and that's... Did you have sugar as your number three? I don't think I heard your number three.
Yes. Yeah, sugar's my number three.
Okay. So you can already see sort of where we'll be disagreeing on what's better in the future.
Yeah. I like the heavy ballads, and I like the craziness. And the guitar work, man. The percussive guitar work that just overwhelms you. You're going to see a lot of that on my list going forward.
I hear you.
Well, I cannot wait to talk some more System with you. I don't know when exactly we will plan to do more, but we guarantee that you will see a track masters for each System of a Down release going forward. The next release, of course, is the big one, Toxicity, from 2001. We will take some time to break down all the tracks in there, including some of their biggest hits of all time, tracks like Chop Suey, tracks like Toxicity itself, Aerials, of course, lots of great stuff in there. And, of course, Mark's intro to the band in Psycho is also on that album.
Yeah.
Then we will later on talk Steal This Album with a lot of extra songs, B-sides from the Toxicity era. And then we will take one episode apiece for Mesmerize and Hypnotize, the double album sort of thing they released at the very end of their career.
The sort of death rattle of the band as a whole.
Yeah, it's sad, man. I know they have kind of gotten back together and played some reunion shows, and there's nothing more I want than new System music, but also I am terrified to hear what new System music sounds like, because I know what Surge has been up to recently, and that is, I mean, not on the same level at all as far as quality goes, and certainly Scars on Broadway was not the same either. But yeah,
Scars on Broadway is terrible.
Yeah, and I will say there's a few Surge songs that I do enjoy. On the whole, I'm more kind of, you know, medium on his solo stuff. But I mean, maybe there's something about them all getting back together and writing something. And I think they've said, you know, they won't do it unless it feels right and it feels good. So I guess I'll hold them to it and hope that we can see a day of new System music. But realizing that, you know, that they may have released all the stuff they ever will.
Yeah, I mean it's probably a good thing to be that way, but you know, of course I would be interested if they put more out.
I just hope they're not too old before they decide to do it.
Right. Maybe like really old System would be kind of
maybe that's
cool.
Gonna be awesome. They just need to be old dudes.
Yeah. Well, all right. If you had any thoughts about our show here, anything you love System. Then if you don't like them, you can tell us too. I probably will insult you on the air, but send us an email over at weeklybeatsshow@gmail.com. And if you like what you're hearing, leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars, preferably, with an album title, and we'll do special on that album. So let us know what's going on. Do your duty to your podcast.
Do your duty to your podcast. And that's it. Of course, we have weekly shows throughout the week, every week, where we talk about the top Billboard album on the week, as well as a personal choice of ours. And you can tune into those every Thursday they release.
Yeah.
That's it. So stay tuned for more specials going forward. And, of course, stay tuned to Weekly Beats for your weekly perspective on the week in music. And that'll wrap us up here for today.
This was a good time. This was a good time. This was a good time.
That was a very Serge Tankian thing to say to close things off.
Unequivocally relocating.
This was a good time.
Unequivocally relocating, unbelievable, fervently enjoyment from brain to brain. Loving System, loving you, putting these lyrics down the drain. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.